Hey, good morning. Whoa, I'm on. Wow. Hey, are you all awake? You all ready to worship God? Because that's why we're here, right? Okay. All right, so if you can all find a seat, that would be wonderful. Well, hopefully when you came in this morning, you all received the bulletin. And if you've already looked in the bulletin, you know that today is a special day for men. It is? Good job. All right. So you know what? Let's have all the men stand. All the men. Okay? Whether you're a father or not, just stand. Let's give them a round of applause. Okay? So we're just so thankful for each and every one of them. All right, you guys, you can be seated. So hopefully when you came in, you received a bulletin. And inside the bulletin is some real important information. But this week, not a whole lot going on. There's only one thing, and that is Joy Lunch at Cracker Barrel at noon on Wednesday. And this is open to anybody who has the opportunity and the time to be able to come and just join us for lunch. So put that on your calendar if it's not already there. Joy Lunch at noon at Cracker Barrel. You all got that? Okay, all right, so we want to see you there. And next Sunday, we are doing communion, which also means we will be doing an offering for the Benevolent Fund. And so I hope that you'll be praying about what God would have you be able to give. And again, that's above your regular giving. Well, at this time, for just a few moments, I'm going to turn it over to Jared, and then we'll just see what he's got in store. So right now, let's have all of the summer missionaries, because it's camp season, and all of the Timothys that are here coming up front.
Come on up, guys. So I'm Jared Schofield. You know me as your worship leader, but also I'm the Boise area Timothy advisor. And what that means is we do a training program for a camp called Shiloh Bible Camp. All of these kids that stand before you are ministers at that camp. So could somebody tell me, what is Shiloh Bible Camp?
So Shiloh Bible Camp is a Bible organization up in Donnelly, Idaho. We go there every summer and minister to kids from ages 8 all the way up to high school. And there is 5 camps this summer. It's going to be for 5 weeks, and we'll all be able to minister. So, yeah.
So besides being a camper, what are some other ways kids can get involved at the camp?
So, like, we're all Timothys and some missionaries, so we get to go up and serve the campers. Yeah.
Thank you. So raise your hand if you're a Timothy. And raise your hand if you're a summer missionary. So did you know that our group had 25 Timothys and 6 out of a total of 15 summer missionaries from our group held at our church? That's something to be pretty proud of.
Amen.
So these guys are taking their time. They're going to serve. And how long are you guys going to be up there? Who's going to be up there for a total of 6 weeks? Raise your hand. And then how long do Timothy's get to serve?
I'm not a Timothy. Sorry.
But you've been a Timothy. Once. And you work with them. How long do you get to serve as a Timothy?
It depends on what camps you sign up for.
So you go at 1 week intervals, yes? And some Timothy's choose to be up there the whole summer also, which is pretty awesome. So thank you to the church family for sending out these approved workers who are not ashamed, wink, wink, of Jesus to serve in his name. Let's give the Amen. Lord a round of applause for them.
Amen. Amen.
Back to you, Sam.
You're welcome. So, wait, summer missionaries, stay up here. Summer missionaries, stay up here. So, they will not, because of being summer missionaries at camp, they will not be able to hold down a job for the summer. So they're in the process of sending out letters to ask for financial support as well as prayer support. So if you happen to get a letter from one of these people, one of these fellas, you'll know what it's about. You'll know why it's about. You'll know what it is that they're going to be doing and why it is that they're asking. Most of them will spell it out in pretty good detail in their letters. So you'll have no, but you, at least you'll be able to put a name with a face with the letter. All right? So you can, you'll have an opportunity to be able to do that. But pray for them as they serve God at camp. In fact, let's just take a moment and let's just pray for them right now. Not only these summer missionaries, but also for our Timothys. Father, we thank you for the impact that your word has had in the lives of these young people. Father, these are young people who are giving up their time. They're using their talent. They're using their treasure to be able to serve you this summer at Shiloh Bible Camp. Father, we thank you for the ministry of Shiloh. But Lord, we thank you for the way that we see your word being lived out in the lives of these young people. Father, for those of us that have been around for a long time, and sometimes we wonder what the future of the church looks like, I think we can be blessed today, because I think it might be in really good hands. So Father, I just pray that you'll use them, use our summer missionaries to be able to teach your word, to be able to impact the lives of the kids that are in their cabins. Father, we pray for our Timothy. Father, we pray that you will just continue to give them a heart to be able to serve. They're going to serve in a lot of capacities at summer camp. And so, Father, we just pray that you'll just give them the wisdom, give them the strength, give them the peace, but above all, give them the patience that they need to be able to work with kids. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Aren't you glad of them? Aren't you proud of them?
Yes.
I know
yes,
we are. All right, you can go now. All right, so today is Father's Day, and I want to honor some special fathers. And so we're going to see how this works, okay? It doesn't always work out the way that I want it to. But I think this one's going to work out pretty good as I've looked around the audience. So I want to honor the newest father from last Father's Day to today. So one of those is Matt, right? Because you had baby James between last Father's Day and this Father's Day. If my calculations are right, shake your head yes, Matt. Okay, good. And then we have David, right? You had Navy between last Father's Day and this Father's Day, right? And we have Jeremy. Jeremy has had Silas from last Father's Day to this Father's Day. So guys, come on up and we want to honor you for being the newest fathers. Yeah, okay, I rigged it a little bit. Okay. There you go, Matt. There you go, David. You're welcome. Happy Father's Day. All right, so then I want to recognize the newest father to Lake Hazel Bible Church, excluding today. So both of these gentlemen, I believe, are here. So one of them is Cade. The other one is David Driffel. So come on up. Okay? All right. And if you're a longtime attender here at Lake Hazel Bible Church and you have not met these fellas, you need to spend time meeting them and getting to know them. All right. Thank you guys. Thank you for being the newest fathers here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. All right, so this one could get a little tricky. So I want to honor the father with the birthday closest to Father's Day. So if your birthday is in June, stand up. Okay, all right. Kate, I hate to tell you this, but you already won. Okay. <All right. laughs> That's okay. That's okay. All right. So let's see, Les, when's your birthday?
14th.
The 14th, today's the 18th. William, what? 9th. Oh, wow, okay. I think Les got it.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, come on up, Les. Again, we are so grateful for the fathers of our church family. We're so grateful for the men of our church family, and we just wanted to spend a little bit of time just saying thank you for who you are and what you do, not only for your family, not only for your community, but also for us as a church family. So again, let's give all of our men a round of applause. All right, worship team, take it away.
All right. Would you stand with me for these first couple songs? I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love. Oh, amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Your rich in love and Your slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. Come on. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. And when my strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. Yes, 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name. Lord, we are here for You today to worship Your holy name. It's awesome to honor dads. It's awesome to see what's happening with our kids at camp. But we are here for You. Lord, we came because of You. We're here to worship You because You're worthy of it. You're worthy of all our praise. Thank You, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to come together as a family and sing Your praises. Amen. Go ahead and be seated as we continue. My life is Yours, and my hope is in You only, and my heart You hold, 'cause You made this sinner holy and beat up my life is to worship in Your light, 'cause Your glory is so beautiful, 'cause Your glory is so beautiful. My life is Yours, and my hope is in You only, and my heart You hold, 'cause You made this sinner holy and holy. Your glory is so beautiful, I fall unto my knees in awe, and the heartbeat of my life is to worship in Your light, 'cause Your glory is so beautiful, 'cause Your glory is so beautiful. Oh, oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus, You are good. We sing glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus, You are good. In your house. We worship you today. We say thank you. We say we love you. Hallelujah. You are good. Amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering and got one more. One more to go. God is good. Amen. Man, I love coming to church. How about you guys? A Savior on a hill, dying for my shame. Could this be true? Defies the world I see. Yet this is all my heart was longing for, to know you, my Lord, to know you, Lord. You deserve, you deserve all the praise. So loved the world, you gave your only son to say, I love you so. Oh, how I love you so. You deserve, you deserve. Hallelujah. to the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we will sing forever. Hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah, we will sing forever. And all humanity aches to find this beautiful love you give. We come to you again to offer up our lives to worship you alone, to worship you alone. You deserve, you deserve all the praise. To the King. Hallelujah, we will sing forever. Hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah, we will sing forever. And I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, oh Lord. Just your voices one more time. And I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord. He is worthy of our praise. I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee.
That was so beautiful. You make such a great choir. Wow, that was good. So today is Father's Day, and I hope that if you're a father here with us this morning, you felt honored already. And I hope that as a man being with us today, you felt honored. And I hope that as a lady being here today, you felt honored as well. And hopefully you've already received some very special Father's Day greetings already today. But you know, there are a lot of different ideas about the specialness of this day. A first grade teacher asked her class, "So what is Father's Day?" One boy answered, "Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the gift." Another boy in the class responded, "What gift?" On Father's Day, not only do I want to focus our attention on fathers, but I want to focus our attention on men. But the things that we're going to talk about this morning apply to all of us, no matter what kind of category we may feel like we fit in, whether we be male or female. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the motto of the United States Marine Corps. You know what that is? They want a few good men. But truth be known, only the best of the best make it through their training. And you know, as I've been thinking about the things that are going on in our world today, the things that are going on in our culture, the things that are going on in our society, I think it's evident that in today's world, there's a need for good men. But I think it's even more evident in light of our culture, in light of our society, in light of our world, that in today's world, there's more of a need for godly men. And that's what I want our focus to be this morning. What does God desire for us as men to be when it comes to us as men being godly men? So here's some questions to think about. Does God want good men or does God want godly men? Now, godly men are good, but good men are not necessarily godly. Let me say that again. Godly men are good, but good men are not necessarily godly. So that brings us to a different question. Is being good, good enough? So which is more important, good men or godly men? Men who are well-liked or men who are well-loved? Men who do the right thing or men who do things right? Men who have a good view of today or men who have a clear view of eternity? Men who are known for their actions or men who are known for their heart? Men who meet physical needs or men who meet spiritual needs? Men who follow the crowd or men who follow Jesus? So the question is, what is God looking for? Good men or godly men? So my hope and my aim this morning is that we get to a place to where we can answer that question. What is God looking for? Good men or godly men? And we're going to continue our introduction this morning by being reminded of two biblical events. In 2 Chronicles, we find the record of Judah's King Asa. We are told that when Asa came to the throne, he did what was good and right in the sight of God. Now that's quite a thing to be said about anybody, isn't it? That they do what was right in the sight of God, what was good and right. Asa, when he became king, it was said of him that he did what was good and right. Well, what does that mean? What did that look like? Well, he removed all the pagan altars and tore down all the high places of pagan worship. He influenced the people of Judah to seek God for all things. When the army of Ethiopia made war against him, he sought God's help first, and God gave him victory against incredible odds. And this put fear in the other kings and brought peace to Asa. Yet, this isn't the end. About 30 years later, when the king of Israel attacked Judah, Asa went to another king, not to God, for help. While Asa won the victory, Asa lost the blessing of God. Now, we might have a tendency to look at this situation as no big deal because they won. But it was a big thing to God. And God sent Hanani to Asa with a message about his actions. And that message is recorded for us in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. Where it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars." It's clear here that God's word tells us that God is not just looking for good men. He is searching, seeking, and he is on a quest for those men whose hearts are completely his. Now, being one of these kinds of men is not for the faint of heart or those with half-hearted, lackluster loyalty. But being a godly man requires courage, especially in our culture today. Wouldn't you agree with that? to be able to take a stand against the waves of this culture and where this culture is wanting us to be able to go. Wouldn't you say, men, it takes courage to be able to stand up for God, to be able to stand against the flow of the culture. It takes courage and commitment to God and His Word. Because God's eyes are still running to and fro looking for such men. And here's another question. Has God's eyes are running to and fro searching for godly men? Will He find them here in Idaho? Will He find them here in the Treasure Valley? Will He find them here in Boise? Will He find them here at Lake Hazel Bible Church? My prayer is that the answer to that would be yes. And most of us men who are gathered here this morning would be able to stand up and say, I don't want to be just a good man. I want to be a godly man. The second situation is found in Ezekiel chapter 22. And this is a parallel situation to King Asa. Now, this record tells us that God expects men not only to be godly, but He expects them to lead spiritually. So what's happening here in Ezekiel is this. The Israelites were divided into two kingdoms, Israel to the north and Judah to the south. Israel has a history of having one wicked king after another. God warns Israel and calls on them to move away from their wickedness and to follow Him only. What was their response? Their response was to reject God's request. And because of their rejection as Israel, they paid a price. Because in 722 BC, the northern kingdom known as Israel fell to the Assyrians and were taken into captive. And in 586 BC, the southern kingdom known as Judah fell to the Babylonians and were taken into captivity as well. Instead of being able to live in the land that God had promised them all the way back to Abraham, they wound up living in the land of captivity, penalty, and cruelty. And what did God say about this? Well, it's recorded for us in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. And here in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, God says this, "And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." But I found none. Remember, we already talked about the fact that even yet today, God's eyes are running to and fro, looking for godly men. Wouldn't it be sad if God looked here and said, I've been looking, I've been searching, but I found none. I hope that as God sees me, as God sees you men that have come here this morning to be able to worship Him, who've come here this morning to be able to hear from His Word, that He can't say, as He looks at us at Lake Hazel Bible Church and says, I was looking for godly men, men who would take a stand against the culture, man who would stand in the gap, man who would help rebuild the walls, but I found none. As a pastor, that would hurt my heart. As God, that would grieve His heart. Today, God is searching for men who will repair the wall, the walls of our culture, the walls of our country, and even the walls of our churches. God is calling men today to be godly men who will repair the walls and stand in the gap, be in the breach, because their heart is completely devoted to Him. Didn't we sing a song about that? About our heart being totally what? Given over to God. I think we did. You know, an old-time preacher once described a godly man like this. One who rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, leads courageously, and expects a greater reward, God's reward. I kind of like that definition. God is looking for a godly man. He describes godly men in this way. So I want us to look at three qualities of a godly man. Godly men display compassion. Now, sometimes as men, we come to understand compassion as a show of emotion. And some of you have grown up in the generation to where it was not a good thing for a man to show emotion. You had to be rugged. You had to be tough no matter what. No matter how much you hurt, no matter how much you were carrying inside, you didn't dare share it. You didn't dare show it. You didn't cry. Even if you went to a movie that was really sad, you didn't cry. Or if you did cry, you didn't let anybody see it. Compassion and emotion are similar, but they're not really the same thing. And especially they're not the same thing when God says, as God describes it. You know what? I consider myself to be a man of compassion. There have been times when my church family have seen me cry because my heart was what? Moved. My dad was one of those who was part of that generation to where you didn't talk about emotion. You didn't show your emotions. But there were times when I saw my dad cry, and usually it was about once a year, when we would go to the movie theater, and we would, before Christmas, and we would watch the movie White Christmas. And I would see my dad cry. And you know what? Every time that I watch White Christmas at the very same part that my dad would cry, guess what I do? I cry. Now you're all going, when is that in the movie, Pastor? Okay, spoiler alert. So when the two guys who were in his unit when they were fighting in World War II in Italy, when they meet up with him again by chance or whatever you want to call it, okay, in Vermont, and they decide to bring their whole show up to Vermont to his little inn to be able to help him out financially because he's just struggling in being able to make this thing a going enterprise. And so they get the bright idea that because he wanted to go back into the army, because he missed the camaraderie of all of the soldiers, and he got turned down, and he was really dejected, and he was really disappointed, they decided that what they would do is they would put out an appeal to all of those who lived in the Northeast that were part of his unit when they served together in World War II in Italy. And so they put on this show, they bring all of these guys in, and they keep it a surprise from the general who owns the inn in Vermont, right? And so then, you know, they take all of his clothes except for his army uniform. So he comes in his army uniform, and all of these people are there. All of these soldiers are there, and they come marching in, and they sing the same song that they sang. And as he's looking at these men, the tears in this hardened soldier general's eyes begins to draw down his face. That's when my dad cried. That's when I cry. Compassion and emotion are very similar. But God wants men who display compassion. Because the compassionate man sees the needs of others. It's not just enough to see the need. He really wants to do something about it. Because a man's nature is to do and to fix. And you and I, we all know, right, that men get weary of talking about fixing things. They just want to do something about it. A preacher told a story of his youth. He said, "When I was a teenager, my father and I were standing in line to buy tickets for the circus. Finally, there was only one family between the ticket counter and us. This family made a big impression on me. There were 8 children, all probably under the age of 12. Their well-worn clothes indicated that they did not have a lot of money, but their clothes nonetheless were spotless and pressed perfectly. Well-behaved, they were standing in line behind their parents, holding hands 2 by 2. They were excitedly jabbering about the clowns, elephants, and other acts they would see that night. One could sense that they had never been to a circus before. It promised to be a highlight of their young lives. The father and mother were at the head of the pack, standing proud as could be. The mother was holding her husband's hand, looking at him as if to say, "You're my knight in shining armor." He was smiling and basking in pride, looking at her. The ticket lady asked the father how many tickets he wanted. He proudly said, "Please, I need 8 children's tickets and 2 adult tickets so that I can bring my family into the circus." The ticket lady quoted the price. The man's wife let go of his hand. Her head dropped, and the man's lip began to quiver. The father leaned a little closer and asked, "How much did you say?" The ticket lady again quoted the price. The man obviously did not have enough money. How was he now supposed to turn and tell his 8 kids that he did not have enough money to bring them into the circus? Seeing what was going on, this pastor goes on to write, "My dad put his hand in his pocket, pulled out a $20 bill, and dropped it to the ground. Now, we were not wealthy in any sense of the word, but my father reached down, picked up the bill, tapped the man on the shoulder, and said, 'Excuse me, this must have fell out of your pocket.' The man sensed what was going on. While not begging for a handout, he certainly appreciated the help in a desperate, heartbreaking, embarrassing situation." The pastor goes on to write, he looked into my dad's eyes, took my dad's hand in both of his, squeezed tightly onto the $20 bill, and with quivering lips and tears streaming down his cheek, replied, "Thank you. Thank you. This means a lot to my family." The man telling the story about his father said, "My father and I went back to our car and drove home. We did not go to the circus that night, but we did not go home without." What a father that man was. What a godly example of Jesus. What an example of a godly man who has compassion for others. You see, godly men who stand in the gap and repair the wall are men moved to action by their compassion. Godly men display deep convictions. Now, convictions, I believe, are much stronger than a commitment. And as I look around, I think that the concept of commitment has fallen on hard times. But as godly men, we need to have convictions. And our convictions should be unshakable, unbreakable, and unchangeable. Why? Because our convictions are rooted in the truth of God's word, not in the stream of the culture, not in the ideas of man, but in the truth that God's word has given to us to be able to what has men live by and put into practice into our lives. But sadly, too many of us men have developed convictions about things which don't really matter for eternity. Sadly, too many of us men have developed convictions about things which don't really matter for eternity. Godly men have deep convictions about the things of God. Godly men are concerned about the spiritual climate of their family. Godly men are focused on the spiritual climate in their community. Godly men want the best for their church family. Even a godly man, though, has struggles. And for me, I have struggles. And I can identify with Paul when he writes in the book of Romans, those things that I want to do, I don't. And those things I don't want to do, I do. I'm exactly like that. But then Paul also writes this, and I would rather identify with Paul in this than in when he says, the things that I want to do, I don't, and those things that I don't want to do, I do. Because Paul later on declares, I haven't reached my goal, but I'm not giving up, giving in, or going back. I'm pressing, leaning, reaching, and straining forward toward my goal of being like Jesus. And that brings us to the third quality of a godly man. Godly men display Jesus. Now, men, let me remind you, and women, let me remind you, that before you can display Jesus, you must believe in Jesus as Savior. And once you believe in Jesus as Savior, you must follow Jesus and His Word, and you must be conformed more and more to the image of Jesus. Now, this may not be just for the good man, but it definitely is for the godly man. So what have we learned this morning? Well, hopefully we learned that a godly man submits to God. A godly man submits to God's Word, and a godly man submits to living like Jesus. There's a hymn that we sing from time to time. The title of the hymn is Living for Jesus. Let me just share with you some of the words. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Father, as Your eyes are running to and fro over this earth, Father, as Your eyes are running to and fro throughout this state of Idaho, Father, as Your eyes are running to and fro throughout the Treasure Valley, as Your eyes are running to and fro within the church family here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, may You find men who are willing to stand in the gap. Men who are willing to believe in You as Savior. Men who are willing to live by the truths of Your Word. Men who are willing to be able to do what You ask for us to be able to do. Oh, Father, may it not be said of us that You looked, but You found none. Father, may You find a church this morning full of men who desire to be godly men. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our last song, would you stand with me as we sing the heart of worship?
When the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless Your heart. I'll bring You more than a song, for a song in itself is not what You have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about You, all about You, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the day I made it, when it's all about You, all about You, Jesus. The King of endless worth, the no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. We live for you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus.